Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi. As always, thank you for joining me. Today, we're going to listen to the second part of a conversation I had with Greg and Kathy Bufkin. Now, if you did not hear last week's episode, I highly recommend doing that first and then come back here to finish it out. I will say that in both discussions, we do go beyond the topic of suicide. So no matter how your child left this earth, you will want to listen in. I gave a longer introduction last week, so today I will just remind you that Greg and Kathy lost their son Ryan to suicide in 2015. God has brought them through to a place of restoration and hope and joy with a passion to help other grieving families on their journeys. They are co-founders of the Empty Chair Endeavor, which is designed to support and equip survivors of child loss, and Greg has a podcast as well. So, let's get to the rest of my chat with Greg and Kathy Bufkin. Did you find, now, all of us, I think, as a whole who have lost a child, we end up finding ourselves dealing with the pain of people avoiding us. They don't know what to say. Their own fears of losing a child, whatever. People we thought were going to be there for us, or we see somebody walking the other way when they see us in a store. So I know you guys dealt with that because we all deal with that. But I'm curious, do you feel like you dealt with that even more so because of that stigma of suicide, you know, family, friends, church, family? I know, Greg, you couldn't even use the word suicide yourself for quite a long time. But did you find other people around you? Did you feel like you were dealing with that stigma at all?
You go ahead.
I think we did. We were very blessed in that before Ryan passed away, we've always been a part of some kind of small group, whether, you know, we led small groups and have always just in our marriage just been a part of a small group. So we were part of a very close small group when Ryan passed away. So we had support from them, and they, some of them knew Ryan, some of them didn't, but they were always so patient with us when we wanted to share something about Ryan or share a story about Ryan. But there were times when we felt a little bit, I don't know if the word is shunned, but people would maybe start talking with us, and you know that they know, but they don't know what to say, so they just avoid it altogether. So yeah, there is that, and especially if it's suicide, people struggle with that.
Mm-hmm. I think it makes people. I think the whole subject makes a lot of people uncomfortable, and. What we found is that a lot of people that were in our lives apparently felt uncomfortable around us. I don't know that it was specifically because it was suicide, but simply because they didn't know what to do with us at that point. The church we were in at the time, Laura, we had been members of for the better part of 20 years. And there were people that, I know some of them came to the funeral. It's hard to remember because you're
right. Exactly. I know you got to go back and look at who signed the book.
Yeah. But some of those people 10 years later, we've never heard from. I mean, never even acknowledged that we lost Ryan. And what people don't understand is, you know, it takes a while to get past that. It takes a while to be able to forgive that. You know, we want people to remember. Any parent who loses a child, one of our greatest fears is people are going to forget about our child. They're going to forget their name. So we love to hear people use our child's name. We love to have people ask us about Ryan. A funny story. Just share, you know, tell us something about Ryan. So when people act as though he never existed, that hurts far more than somebody who,
ignorance.
And their ignorance. But for those who want to help, because I think most people really do, when they say something, they really do think that there is going to help in some way. But they say things and sometimes they don't really think it through. And it actually hurts more than if they hadn't said anything. And that's the whole point. Take the risk of coming alongside somebody who's lost a child, even if you just show up and offer the gift of your presence, instead of choosing to act as though it never happened. You cannot imagine the pain that that causes to come face to face with somebody that we were friends with in our before life and we still know in our afterlife. And we know that they know we lost our child, but they can have a conversation with us and somehow never even acknowledge that it happened and think that we're okay with that. And we're anything but that.
And I think some people just don't know what to say, and they're afraid that if they say something that it will make us, it will hurt us really bad. What they don't understand is that we've already been hurt. I mean, the worst thing that can
talking
happen,
it's not like we forgot about our child, and if you bring them up, it's like, oh my goodness, I forgot my child died. Why did you bring that up?
I have used that myself.
Or the thing when someone tries to comfort you and tell you, well, at least you know they're in heaven, and it's like, oh my goodness, really? They're in heaven? Oh, that makes me feel so much better. I was so sad, but now, oh my goodness, you just took all that pain and sadness away. Now that I know they're in heaven, thank you so much. You just like totally changed my life for that.
Yeah, anytime you hear somebody.
I mean, you feel that. You don't say that, but it's like those things go through my head.
Right.
It's like, oh, thank you. Yes.
When you're grieving parents and you hear somebody start a sentence, at least might as well run.
Don't bother. Don't bother. Oh my goodness. At least. Yep. Don't even start with those words.
Right.
Well, I'm going to ask you one last question here. I knew we were going to take, this is going to be a lengthy one, because I just knew that you guys would have so much depth and good things to share with everyone. How hard has it been to make that shift of being devastated by Ryan's death and how he died, to not have it like feeling like it's permeating every thought, and get to that place where you wanted to figure out how to honor his life through your own lives?
Well, I think we probably will answer that in different ways.
And I know it's not just time.
No, oh no, time. Time does
that
not.
Whole thing, time heals all wounds, is just so. It's like no. It's what you do with your time. It's how you give it to God. It's how. It's like,
exactly. So I would say that, you know, a couple of things would be for me, and I'll only speak for me, because Kathy and I are wired very differently. I'm more outgoing, and Kathy is, I would say Kathy's an extroverted introvert.
I get that.
So when I went back to work, I was a pharmaceutical rep. So I was in doctor's offices all day long, every day, talking with them and their nurses and other staff members. And I had been calling on most of my customers for the better part of 30 years. So most everybody, by the time I got back to work 2 months later, they knew what had happened. And I dreaded going back, because I knew that I was going to have to relive it over and over and over, unless I was just rude. So what I discovered was that every time I had the opportunity to share my story, because doctors would, you know, they were very kind and compassionate. They often would ask, how's Kathy doing?
Mm.
And they would want to know how I was doing as well.
Mm-hmm. And a legitimate, how are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, they really mm-hmm. were. It's not, it was mm-hmm. not the typical Southern,
you know, mm-hmm. how you doing?
Yeah. They wanted to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so every time I got to share something of our story, sometimes it was just a couple of minutes, sometimes it was longer, it got easier as time went on, because I was having to talk about our grief, and I was having to talk about what life, you know, what's life like today. I'm having to, you know, I'm having to show up and do my job. As a rep, you're always quote unquote on. Now,
Do you feel like it kind of forced you to process it?
It did.
Okay.
If somebody had given me the choice, I probably would not have
Right.
necessarily chosen that option. But God used that, even when I didn't understand what was happening. When I look back now, I see that it enabled me to heal a lot faster. So the point that I'm making here is that if when you have an opportunity to talk about it, talk about it. Because when you talk about it, you're having to process it, and you're trying to find ways to share what you're dealing with. A couple of things that that does is it allows other people into the equation, and they can help carry some of that grief. I mean, they can carry some of that load. Sometimes it also allows us to borrow from their faith when our faith is at a low point. When we're emotionally at a low point. So for me, I'm so incredibly blessed to be married to Kathy, because not only is she my wife, but she's my very best friend on the planet. And being able to process that with her, with the Lord, and with other people, it allowed me, I think God brought me to a place of healing a lot faster than I would have had I been left, you know, on my own to do that. And Kathy probably would say something different for her.
Yeah, well, I guess it was different, because I, being retired, I didn't, you know, I wasn't,
you didn't have work to go to.
Have to go back to the classroom, you know. But I do remember after he started back to work, I can remember going to the grocery store and getting parked in the parking lot and just realizing I can't do this. I can't go in. I would do that quite often. I would try to, you know, I would try to do the things I needed to do and go the places I needed to go. But when I would get there, I could not make myself get out of the car and go in. That was, you know, that was extremely difficult. But I also had a few very close girlfriends who would just, in the beginning, would just come and just sit with me, not really talk, not really have an agenda. We would just sit and drink a cup of coffee. So that was extremely helpful. And being a part of a small group when Ryan passed away was so, so helpful.
Yeah.
And we would just encourage anybody, no matter where you are in life, really, just to be a part of a community, even just a small group, because it's so helpful and supportive. We even had, let's see, Ryan passed away in October, and in February, we had a new couple come and join our small group. They never knew Ryan, never met him.
And we didn't know them previously.
No, and we didn't know them. So, but they have, over the years, they have been such close, dear friends. And they know just about as much now about Ryan as anybody else does, because they love hearing us share stories. And even now, they will once a month they will go to his grave
Wow.
and put flowers on there. So
Wow.
just to honor his memory and to honor us too
Yes.
Yeah.
through their friendship.
And they have no idea how much that means that
Oh my
somebody
goodness.
up
Oh
there
my goodness.
remembers it.
Yeah.
And I'll share this too because I think this is just it just blew us both away when they told us this. It's probably a couple of years ago. You know, at that point, we had known each other for about 8 years. And one day they told us they both have daughters, you know, from previous marriages. Neither ever had a son. So they told us one day, you know, we feel like Ryan is the son that we never had.
Oh, wow.
And yet they had never met him.
You know, it's amazing. I do tell parents that they may find out that some of the people that have the most compassion for us and are there for us are people, the after people.
Yes.
People who didn't know us when we lost our child, but when they find out, all of a sudden they're just there for us and
Yeah.
they love on us and they it's like I can't imagine that. But the people who were there with us just go on with their own lives and it's just like it never happened. Yeah.
Yeah, that is such a
So
good
true.
point.
Yeah.
Such a good point.
So if you feel like everybody's abandoned you now, you know, like Kathy, like you were saying, if you can't find a small group, make a small group. Ask God to bring people to you that you can just be a small group together and
Yes.
do life together. Do
Yeah.
life together with your child who's not here. We need that. We
Absolutely.
need that so badly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are all a part of the community and a community of believers. And God made us for fellowship. And that's one of the reasons that he did is so that we can support and care for each other
Right.
and comfort and encourage each other in times of tragedy and
And that's
trauma.
different than plugging into a Sunday morning church service.
It is.
Right.
Oh,
There are so many
yes.
parents, it's like, I can't go back to church. It's like, well, you don't have to. Just
Right.
find a small group of fellowship.
Yes.
You know, and even if it's just another group of grieving parents and your believers together, that meets the requirement, you
Yeah,
know.
it's so helpful.
Yeah.
So
And
helpful.
I think that kind of speaks to and the way that it's lived out. You know, I think it's Psalm 34:18 maybe that says God is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit.
Yes.
And that's a grieving parent.
Yes.
And when he brings those people, like we've been talking about, into our lives, who are just there for us without expectations, and they accept the new us,
Yes.
because let's face it, you know, as
Yeah.
you alluded to, there is a before life.
Yes.
There's a life before we lost our child. There's our life after we
It's a
lost our
very
child.
defining line.
We're different
Yes.
people.
Very different.
So yeah.
So let's wrap this up. I would like you to let people know about the ministry you have now, the Empty Chair Endeavor, and your podcast, Greg. Can you just tell a little bit about that to the listeners and how people can connect with you? Because I have a feeling, you know, we've got some listeners who are going to want to connect, especially those who have lost a child by suicide.
Sure. Yeah, and we would certainly invite that. As you said, I guess it was 3 years ago. It was during the middle of COVID. We wanted to do something to honor Ryan and to help other people who had lost a child as well. There were two other couples that had recently lost children who helped us found the Empty Chair Endeavor, and the purpose of it was twofold. One was to minister to those who had lost a child. But at that time, for us, more importantly, we wanted to be able to equip and enable other people who were on the outside looking in to know how to more effectively and compassionately minister
Yes.
to grieving parents and siblings. We created a website, and there's a lot about our story on the website. There are some some resources in the forms of primarily in the source of books, maybe another website or two. And we just kind of tell the story of, of those three children. Their photos are on there along with the parents. And I guess about a year later, it started becoming very apparent that what we wanted to do, which was to have opportunities to go and speak to churches and or civic organizations, whoever would have us, to go and do something like that live. Well, after a few months, it just kind of felt like we were spinning our wheels.
Oh yeah. We had the same thing happen. Yeah, you approach churches. Oh, we already have our own speakers. We don't know who you are. And we don't have that many parents that have lost a child. And I mean, it's just,
And
yeah,
we
we had
heard
the
that.
same thing.
You nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. And so I felt like God was telling me, I got the I heard this phrase, pause and pivot. I don't want to pause because we've barely got any traction now. And if I pause, it's going to fall apart. Well, I wasn't counting on the fact that this was God's and not mine. Yeah, it wasn't going to fall apart. But the pivot part, I just didn't get it. So I paused. And Kathy and I were invited to do an episode on Davey Blackburn's podcast, Nothing Is Wasted. And when we did, we like we're doing now, we shared our story. And then it was like God was just kind of tapping me on the shoulder and saying, this is a way that you can reach people that you would have never been able to reach physically or geographically. And I knew nothing about technology. I was just not that guy. It's not my generation. And so I spent the next 4 or 5 months just researching podcasts. I had never listened to one. That God's sense of humor. And that's kind of how the Hope After Child Loss podcast came to be. And so we started that in December of 22. And so our purpose in doing that is pretty much what you do, Laura. It's having parents like us who want to share their story to keep their child's name and their child's memory alive. And they, by sharing their story, they also want to offer hope and encouragement to other parents. So that's what we do. It's very, very much what we're doing now. And I just think that Kathy and I both think that's it's incredibly important to share our stories because when we share stories, it connects us at a heart level instead of just giving information to people. And I think when other people see that not only have we survived this, the unthinkable, but God has healed us at such a just such a gracious level that we can do this. We can we've found purpose, we've found meaning. And we have lots of joy in our lives now. Do we miss Ryan? Of course we do. We think about him every single day. But we also live our lives, and part of what we're doing now is to live our lives to help other people and to honor Ryan and in the process to honor the Lord as well.
So, what is your website?
The Empty Chair Endeavor website is www.emptychairendeavor.com. There is also a way to contact us through that website. We have two email addresses listed.
And I believe on the website there's also a place to be able to let you know if someone feels led that maybe it's time for me to share my child's story and where I am in this journey.
They can click on the podcast tab. Take them directly to that, but we also have a website through our hosting site, Buzzsprout, or Hope After Child Loss, and it's actually listed as Hope After Child Loss, the Empty Chair Endeavor. And on there is a tab as well where people can they can comment, they can ask a question. There's also, again, our email address is listed. if they want to get in touch with us.
Okay. I'll make sure the links to both of those are in the show notes so that people can just click on that link in the show notes if they want to get to one of those places. Any last thoughts you have, anything you didn't share, maybe especially on this topic of suicide specifically, or just anything?
The only other thing that I would share specific to suicide is it wasn't really on our radar so much before we lost Ryan. What I have learned is that according to 2023 statistics, somebody takes their own life every 11 minutes. Every and that that's an actual successful attempt. There are millions of failed attempts and of suicidal ideations. And those are people that we need to notice, the people that we need to make sure are not feeling alone and feel like they have no other way out. Those are people that we need to pray for. But it needs to be on our radar. It needs to be on the Big C Church's radar. This, it is an issue that we need to be sensitive to. It's a heart, it's heart shattering.
Yeah, it is. It's absolutely shocking.
Because we don't want anyone else to experience this.
No,
No.
absolutely not.
Well, Greg, can you pray us out
I'll be
and just pray for the listeners?
honored to.
Thank you.
So, Father, thank you so very much for who you are.
Yes.
Thank you that you are a good father and everything that you do is good. Father, we thank you that your word tells us that you are close to the brokenhearted and you do save those who are crushed in spirit. And that's all of us who have experienced this. And so we thank you, Lord, that you are always near. You're only a cry out for help away.
Yes.
And Lord, we know that when we experience this kind of pain, this kind of loss, and this kind of trauma, that it breaks your heart for us because you understand it. You allowed your own son to be crucified for us to forgive our sins and to give us an opportunity at new life and eternal life with you. And we're thankful for that, Lord. We're thankful that you provide that heaven is for our children who know you. Lord, we thank you that one day, because of you, we get to be reunited with our children. So, Father, today, for those who are listening, who are in an earlier season of grief, in a more acute stage of it, Father, I just pray that you let them feel your presence with them, that you give them glimpses of you in their grief with them, that Lord, you would let them see that you are for them, that you notice them, that you see them, and that you love them. And Father, we pray that you will raise up people like we've talked about today that can come alongside them and help carry some of this grief. Who can, Lord, that are just willing to come and offer the gift of their presence or doing practical things, whatever it might be, so that grieving parents know that they are not alone. And so, Father, we thank you that you are our source of hope. You're our source of joy and our source of peace. And we know, Lord, that hope is not a concept. Hope is a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray for those who don't know you today, that you, in their grief, Lord, you would meet them there and you would enable them to have the faith to turn to you. Father, we pray that you comfort them, that you give them strength, and Lord, that they would just rest in your peace. We thank you for the opportunity you've given all of us, Laura and Kathy and me, to have this conversation today. Lord, we pray that people that are listening, that this will be a source of encouragement and hope to them as well. So we praise you, Lord. because you are good. And we ask these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you to both of you. This has been just a wonderful conversation that I know the Prevers are going to be blessed by. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
thank
Laura.
You.
It was our privilege.
Oh, thanks again, Greg and Kathy, for joining me and sharing Ryan with us and your journey with us. And thank you, Greg, for praying for us. I just really believe that those of you who have listened to this have been blessed by it. And I just pray that the seeds that were planted and the things that were watered, that God will just continue to grow those things in your heart and just bring you to a place of greater hope, more healing, and even more joy in your life. Even if you don't think it's possible, we believe it, and we'll just be that for you until you have your own belief, right? So be sure to get a hold of Greg and Kathy if you want to connect with them. I have a feeling some of you might want to do that. If you don't have any plans yet for the end of February of 2026, consider joining us for the Grief Cruise's 10th year. This is a Caribbean cruise vacation combined with the Ultimate Grief Retreat. Now, this will be mine and Dave's fourth time. This cruise is going to be a shorter one of only 4 nights on February 23rd through the 27th. So we are combining it with our first ever pre-cruise retreat called Relax and Renew. Now, the ship is leaving out of Port Canaveral. This pre-cruise retreat is in Cocoa Beach, Florida, on February 21st through the 23rd. So you can enjoy an extra 2 nights with our grief care team, providing extra activities and sessions, soak up some sun on the beach, and relax. Now, whether you're just interested in the cruise itself, or you want to check out both the cruise and the Relax and Renew pre-cruise retreat, you can find out more about both of those by going to gpshope.org/cruise. After checking it all out, on that page, you will find a button to request more information. Now, that takes you to a form to fill out, and then our friend, Lynn Finley, who's also a coordinator of all of this, she's a travel agent and a fellow Pereaver, she will contact you and answer any questions you may have. I promise you, she is not going to pressure you in any way. That is not who Lynn is. And she is just the contact person, and she's the one you book the cabin through, that kind of a thing. So go ahead and check it out. Now, this is for any loss, but there are times that are set aside just for us as Pereavers to be together as a group. I really hope you check it out and pray about joining us. Oh, and if you're interested, if you want to just come to the pre-cruise retreat, that's okay too. If you want to just come to the retreat and not on the cruise, join us there. So either way, I hope you check it out. Like I said, it's a wonderful opportunity to be with others who get it and to be able to share our children with others who want to hear about our children. We don't get that very often, right? This helps us in every way, spiritually, in our souls, emotions, our minds, and physically even. So once again, go to gpshope.org/cruise. Find out more. Get a hold of Lynn, send in, you know, the information, and there will also be a link in the show notes. Let's go ahead with our birthday segment for this week. Christy Gayhart was born on April 29th and left us at age 49. Eric Mercier's was born on May 1st and left us at age 38. Aaron Opoku was born on May 1st and left us at age 27. Little Milo Kosterna bloomed on earth to blossom in heaven on May 3rd. We celebrate the day these children came into the world. It will always be a special day worth celebrating. If you would like to have your child's birthday shared with the other listeners, I would love to do that for you. All you have to do is go to gpshope.org/birthdays. There's a form for you to fill out, submit it with the information, and the week of your child's birthday, I will add them to the birthday segment. I want to close by reading something Greg wrote. He said, "We choose by God's grace to step into the pain and celebrate even as our hearts break and we feel crushed under the weight of it all. We choose living, knowing that it's a way we can honor our child and their life and keep their memory alive until we see him or her again in heaven. As we all wait for that moment to be reunited with our children, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope."